All right, what is going on? America Unplugged. How's everybody doing? My name is Billy Ray Valentine. Greetings and blessings. Glad to see you here. Glad to have your ear holes wide open for America Unplugged. And you know how Billy the Kid does. I got to ride with my people, the usual suspects, ladies and gents, the wisest of all the wolves, ladies and gents. What's going on? Mr. Tony Atterburn, say what's up to the people.
Hey, great to be here, Billy. Don said I look like I just got back from hunting with Cynthia McKinney. And now I'm prepping because, you know, the supply chain's breaking and the hashtag empty shelves is going on. So we'll talk about that. I got to get ready to hunt for my food.
Damn, you ain't kidding. How the hell am I supposed to do that out here in the city?
I'll mail it to you. I'll share the wealth.
Hey, babe, we got a lamb. Look at this. Tony sent it to us. Mr. Don Jeffries, the legendary. How are you, sir? Welcome back to America Unplugged. What's going on?
It's always a pleasure. This is a highlight of the week with you guys. Love you guys. It's really madness out of fact. I'm writing a new thing I just started for on Substack, Stop the World We Want to Get Off. And I'm just comparing Earth, you know, at this point, it's a giant loony bin. So, I mean, I don't know how the people are in mental institutions exactly. How much less freedom they have, or how much more control they have, or how less interesting. I don't know. But I mean, out here, it feels like, you know, we're in a giant loony bin. And, you know, the jab almost represents the forced psychotropic drugs that people in institutions have to take to control their behavior.
Right. That picture just popped into my head. You see it in the cinema, you know, when somebody's in a psycho ward or something. They give them these cups full of whatever pills and they have to take them. It's like what we're doing here. Like we have to take it, roll up your sleeves. Like here in New York, it's funny, man. And I tried to play this on my live show, but I couldn't find the clip. They have these commercials that say, hey, New York, it's time to get ready. Roll up your sleeves again, because it's a bad time to have the flu. They said, you don't want the flu. And here I'm thinking, I'm like, didn't the flu freaking disappear? Like, yeah. It's your numbers, not ours, right? So it's a bad time to have the flu because they're automatically going to call it COVID. But they want you to take the COVID shot. They want you to take the flu shot. They want you to take all their shots, all of them. And they're trying to jam it down your throats. I do want to talk about the troops not getting vaccinated. I want to talk a little bit about the metaverse because that's becoming a thing. And I think we need to cover it very, very heavily and keep our eyes on it, because that's really this vaccine is the biggest thing right now. The metaverse it might be checkmate, game over if we don't keep an eye on it and toe the line, you know, between reality and whatever that is, you know. So I want to talk about that. But Tone, you wanted to talk about empty shelves. Let's talk to you first, and then we're going to go to Don, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. But Tone, let's talk about hashtag empty shelves. So all over the United States, people are talking about this, right? And I've seen it to a certain degree here in New York. I think it's overreported as it relates to New York, or as it relates to where I am at. In other places, it could be very, very bad. You know, and the thing is, it's even if it's not as bad here in New York, it's still noticeable, right? So I walk around and I'm like, how come that's not there? That's always there. You know, we always have, everything is readily available. It's New York. That's not the case anymore, but it's not as bad as people are making it out to be, at least not yet. Tony, what's up?
Yeah, I think this is the beginning of what could be a massive shortage in what we normally expect to be there. I see that first in prices, and then in my area, it's little things like some of the vitamins that I use. I noticed that they just went out of stock, and then they haven't restocked in weeks. That's because a lot could be because of the ingredients used in some of these vitamins, like melatonin, vitamin C, some of these other things that I get from like the pharmacy. I've noticed that they don't have the same stock shelves as like Dallas does. I was in Dallas, Texas last week, and a little bit better supply chain. But there's a story up on Zero Hedge. It's hashtag empty shelves Joe trends on Twitter. And I think that in some parts of the country, you're seeing this. You see the ports at lot, you know, out the coast of California. backed up, and that's a logistical snafu because of the vax and because of work hours and paying people to stay home and all of this. But really, you know, what it boils down to, and I said on my show yesterday, we're going to test whether or not the premise that you can make potato chips or computer chips and it doesn't matter, you can just import it. That was a big line back in the early 1990s when they were trying to push NAFTA. Of course, they were successful. The elite and the people that argued against it said, don't you want to be self-sufficient? Don't you want to have a country that produces things? Because if we get into a jam, we're not going to want to have to rely on outside nations and, of course, third world, you know, slave labor. But we did. That's the direction that we went into. And so that everything's being tested on that premise of free trade and the supply chain. And, you know, look, historically, nations, great nations rise on sound money and protectionism, keeping the jobs home, keeping the manufacturing at home, and they decline on free trade and fiat currency. And this is, I mean, it's just an historical fact. And I think this is part of the trend that we're going to continue to see after the lockdowns.
Right, man. Right. And things are getting more expensive by the day. This is not good. This is not good. I don't want anybody to be, roped into a political conversation about this. This isn't political. We're suffering here. Money wise. And some people, well, the economy's great. The economy was great when Trump had it. Yeah, that's true to a certain degree. This wasn't changing. Trump was in power. It's going to be the same thing. This is not a good deal. What's going on, and things are getting even more expensive. Food is the problem. And I do want to talk about in Germany, apparently, if you're not vaccinated, you can't go buy food. Right. This is a thing now. And if they control your food, they control you. Straight up and down. If they control the water, they control you. That's the end of it. Anyway, Don Jeffries, what's up?
Yeah, well, certainly. And I'm more and more reminded every day, and I've drawn so many comparisons to Orwell's 1984 and Oceania. And, you know, a big part of that book is Winston Smith and the others talk about the constant shortages. There's always a chocolate shortage. There's a gin shortage. And of course, that's what happened in Soviet Union and communist countries. I don't know to what degree that happened, but it certainly was a part of real life in 1984 in Oceania. And so much of that we're seeing now, you're seeing these shortages are, you know, and they're never explained. It's just like when gas prices go up, they attribute it to, you know, some economist says something somewhere about OPEC or something, and that's it. Now you're paying a lot more at the pump. Nobody questions it. Nobody's going to question the shortages. Nobody's going to question why you're suddenly paying, you know, 25% more for all beef. And at the same time, you're getting the campaign. There were people in Congress testifying recently. They're basically trying to say that it's basically saying it's racist or it's white male privilege to eat beef. And that this is what they're saying. And I'm not a big red meat eater. But I want it there for me. I want to have a hamburger when I want to have it. And certainly I eat a lot of chicken, and that's gone up in price a lot as well. So is this, again, part of the agenda that they've been pushing for a long time to get us to eat this GMO fake stuff from Bill Gates? I mean, are they trying to push that? And eventually, you know, I don't know what they want us to eat, but people need to start questioning it. But people aren't questioning anything. And that's why we talked earlier about the rolling power blackouts. This is something I fear a lot because I'm so plugged into this matrix and all people like you guys. I mean, this is my world now, my cyber right. friends. And so if I'm unplugged, I'm going to feel as dead as all the kids walking around, you know, pressing their cell phones and the cell towers aren't working and they're not going to know what to do. So I'll probably be out there with them, distraught, you know, walking around in circles. This world is something we've become, you know, used to. So they can easily pull the plug on it. They're showing it right now because we're not questioning anything. And Italy, one quarter of the population isn't vaccinated, and they're on the streets because they're not going to be able to work. Will Americans? Because we know the people. I don't know how the Italians and the other countries are the group that has gotten vaccinated. I don't know how much they despise the unvaccinated. But we know in America how much the people that have gotten vaccinated despise us. I mean, they absolutely despise us. We're persona non grata. Families are breaking up over this. I mentioned to my family, I've already missed one wedding. I'll probably be missing another. There won't be holiday get-togethers or anything because this is, we're considered lepers. And that's the way it is in America. They're not questioning anything. So do we really think the people that are considering it this way are going to do anything if they say you can't eat, you can't go in a food store if you're not vaccinated? They're going to say, well, you want to eat, get vaccinated. And that'll be their answer. I know it will. And so we have to have a show of force, but I've been saying that a long time. We have to have a show of force. And in America, we're just not doing it. It's nice that it's happening in other parts of the world, but, and I don't even know, is it working well there? I mean, they balked a lot in Australia, but it seems like they're still clamping down there. So it doesn't even seem to work when you do protest, but here we're not even attempting to protest.
No, you're right. I had to go to a wedding yesterday. And in order to get in, I had to take a COVID test to get in. So I got COVID tested. I passed. I got a 65. just barely made it.
Barely.
but you know, I got to go in. I got to go into the wedding that way. And it's a pain in the ass, right? It's a pain in the ass the whole way around. You either have to get vaccinated or you have to get a test. But at least there's the option to get the test right now, you know, but that's going to go away. You know, that's going to completely go away and it's not going to be a thing. It's like the way they're acting, it leads me to believe that that's going to go away because they're pressing on everybody as hard as possible for them to get vaccinated at the end of the day. Like you said, you know, I mean, it's like you're leopards if you're not right. And it's a real big problem. In particular, like, and sometimes it's discouraging, even though I've had some hope as of late. But here in New York, sometimes you talk to people and they're just like, dude, you got to get vaccinated because why not? You know, but then you hear of people that have like half their face, you know, paralyzed because of it. I've heard of three people so far that had their face paralyzed because of this. This is crazy. This is getting out of hand completely and totally. But they're going to hedge. Or they're going to link your economics as a part of it. They're going to put your health as a part of it, and they're going to divide you with your family and your extended family in order for you to get this thing. They may not say you have to get it right away. It's a mandate 20. Because this is another thing I want to talk to you about, guys. And Tone, I'm going to go to you first. But, you know, I don't know if something's changed from midweek to now, but apparently there's still no law. There's still no mandate. There's still no executive order on behalf of Joe Biden. All he did was say
it was a press release.
What's going to happen? And people have just done it. Could this be a giant mind control experiment too? Let's see what they will do. Let's just say it. Go ahead.
It's like the state attorney generals that they're trying to sue, and you can't sue over it because it doesn't exist. You can't file a court complaint, and OSHA doesn't have it recorded either. There's nothing on their website. You know, I think it was John Rappaport and then David Knight picked this up. This is kind of where this started, the research on where is the executive, where's the rule? Because it's not a law. A law has to be passed by a legislative body. And there's been virtually none of that happen in the United States over COVID. But now that Joe Biden, this was a press release, and this has to do with the employee mandate, where if you have over 1,000 employees and you have to mandate the vaccine, right? And so one of my best friend is a scientist. I've said this on your show. I said this yesterday, but my best friend's an actual scientist, PhD, works in the defense contract industry over development of systems, right? He's being fired because he already had COVID. And he says, I have the antibodies. And they said, well, you have to get the vaccine. He said, well, I'm already immune. Yeah. And they said, well, so they're firing scientists over over science, you know, and I'm going, I'm just like, this is mind blowing. But that's what they're, but it's not just him. And it's thousands of people. I was, you know, he knows folks that are there, you know, in Greenville, Texas, that's where they make, that's Raytheon. And I used to be a company called Estes. That's where they build Air Force One. Apparently, there's just thousands of people like just leaving their badge out. Like, I'm not getting that. Like walking out the door. Incredible, and so all this is happening across the board. But at the same time, it's not an actual executive order. You have the CEO of Southwest Airlines, who's part of the World Economic Forum, right? He's defying the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, who said, you know, he's going to mandate that you can't fire people. You can't mandate this, right? He signed an executive order that actually is real. Mm-hmm. But the CEO of Southwest Airlines says, no, we're going to go with the executive federal order. But there is no executive right. federal. It is a giant. It is a mind control. It is a psychological operation. Because, look, if there's no law and they just say it and they make you comply, then how do you fight it?
Right. No, I agree 100%. What's up, Don? What do you think?
Yeah, and then just the very word mandate. What does that mean? You know, these are code words that are used, and you hear mandate trotted out constantly now. What is a mandate? What is it? I don't think the word mandate's in the Constitution. Probably not in any state constitutions either. But they use these words. It's like primordial ooze or something for the scientific community. They come up with these terms, and people go, "Oh yeah, it sounds impressive." But you know, employer mandates. What I mean, you know, we have constitutional rights. And we're supposed to. And so people need to question it. And that's exactly right what you guys said about how, you know, if it's not coded in law, and none of these mandates are coded in law, they just trot it out. That's usually Jen Psaki or somebody puts out a press release and, oh, you hear? And it's like, that's not the way things are supposed to work. So, but how do you fight them? You're right. As bad and corrupt as our court system is, we still at least maybe have a chance to get an honest judge, but how do you fight something that isn't established anywhere? How do you fight a mandate? There's no way to do that. So again, the only way things are going to change is a dramatic show of force. And I don't mean, violence, but I do mean numbers. We right. have to show them that we outnumber them by the millions or the billions around the world. And, you know, we have to come together in a common, you have to stop all this crazy divisiveness, join hands and look, there is the common enemy. Stop them from doing this. Stop, as I said, you know, stop the world. We want to get off. This madness has got to stop. And if we don't stop them, it's like the bully on the playground. They're going to keep going. They're not going to be satisfied with taking your lunch money.
Right. No, I agree 100%. Mandate comes from Latin mandatum, right? And that means to command. You better freaking do it. What's up, buddy?
I always thought it was when Barack and Michelle went out in Martha's Vineyard on a date.
That's what. As words evolve, you know, they take on different meanings. So absolutely, 100%.
I was looking at the Urban Dictionary. I'm sorry.
And that's what that meant. But yeah, no, it's and they're pushing this on CNN. I watch CNN all the time, and I feel like I need to justify it to the people. Like, why the hell are you watching CNN? I like watching bad television. Okay, like my favorite show on television is 90 Day Fiance. It's a train wreck, but yeah. I love it. Right? I'm sorry, they're knocking on my door. I don't know why. Regardless, it's a train wreck, right? But I love watching these things. So I watch CNN for several reasons. One, it's a train wreck. Two, they put out information, and I want to see what the hell their justifications are.
What the enemy's doing, yeah.
Right, and they go, hey, why are they pose a question to whomever comes on, and they all have the same answer, which is. It makes me think that they're handing out scripts to people. Like, really? I mean, I don't know if this is true, but this is what it makes me think. And, you know, they go, well, why do we have mandates? Why do we have to have mandates? Well, mandates work. That's why. That's their explanation for it. Mandates work. And then you hear somebody else come in, you want a different perspective. Well, the thing is that mandates work. You know, we know that they work. And then they have that. I don't even know her name, but she's annoying as hell. She's a doctor of some sort. She talks like this. Whatever, I'll get it down. But anyway, same thing. Well, mandates work. You know, they work. That's why we have to do mandates because, you know, look at the sharp rise after the mandate. They work. We don't want to have to tell you what you have to do, but we're going to because you don't know any better, pretty much is what they're saying. Mandates work. And this is the point that they're putting out there, the talking point. That's what it is. I'm going to switch over to Fox News next week. That's another type of train wreck. And I want to see what they're saying about this shit. You know, but CNN is currently putting out MSNBC. I don't give them the time of day. I can't do it. I'm sorry. that's too much of a train wreck for me. Anyway, thoughts on this real quick before we move on, Tony. It's they work, Tony. That's why we got to do it.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, central planning works because, you know, we're all the shelves are full and everything's going great. You know, we have a society that's, you know, controlled from the top down now. You know, used to it was the meritocracy. You know, Don writes about this. We used to have a meritocracy. If you were good at something, you could excel. Right. But mm-hmm. there seems to be this ruling class gets more insulated and more powerful every year. And now we have this like the worst people controlling, you know, our systems, and it's showing like everything. Look at the infrastructure, look at all this. They mandate all of this, right? They mandate. And of course, we're in year two of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. So all those mandates, right? They all worked. Now, again, you know, this is part of the, whatever this great reset psychological operation is, right? Whatever the end goal could be, depopulation, could be, you know, could be a combination of a lot of things, but it's all about losing faith in everything. Like you don't have confidence. And I think that's what a lot of these top-down mandates that they say work, right? That don't work. They don't have the authority because that's not a law. You know, again, we discussed that earlier, you know, a right. law is passed by a legislative body. You know, that's the whole premise of the American Revolution was no taxation without representation. Well, we don't have representation in anywhere except on the local level.
Right.
And those people right now are being labeled domestic terrorists by Merrick Garland.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're domestic terrorists. Scum of the earth. Don Jeffries, what's up?
Yeah, he said, Tony's exactly right. There were two principles behind the American Revolution. One was no taxation without representation, and the other one is the consent of the governed. And we lost the consent of the governed during the war between the states because the southern states no longer consented. And the federal government said, you must consent. And they kept them there by force. So the guiding principle of our war for independence was lost in 1865 when Lee surrendered. So we need to remember that. So if you hear anybody talk about and that's why they try to stay away from quotes from Jefferson and all the other people, because these quotes, everything that the founding fathers said would send up red flags, even to the dumbed down masses about what's going on today. They were talking about tyranny that was, you know, 1/1,000,000th of what is experienced every day in modern day America. I mean, George III couldn't have, I mean, he wouldn't have made it. He probably would have been considered, among the unvaccinated. He couldn't have made it in today's world. He didn't have the tyrannical skills that everyone has that run things today. But you're exactly right about the mismanagement. And that's the difference between the corruption 50, 60 years ago and the corruption today. At least those guys could get it done. They could get the streets plowed. They could keep the power on. The infrastructure was, the infrastructure was newer because it was, you know, been built in the Eisenhower administration. But so they did a lot more. They did things more competently. So even though you didn't, you know, hated them maybe, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, they're corrupt and they're unfair. Still, you had to admire they got things done, and you knew that things weren't going to completely fall apart. Now there are just the utter incompetence combined with the corruption. It's just something that it's almost impossible to even fathom, let alone deal with.
Agreed. I want to move on and talk about the story that you threw at us earlier today, Don. So I'm gonna hand it over to you. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I've been talking a lot about the if there is hope, you know, Orwell said if there's hope, it lies in the proles, and I say if there's hope, it lies in those angry parents at the school board meetings. Maybe they can affect some change at that level. I was heartened to hear today that one of the worst Karens on the Loudoun County School Board resigned. So that was good. That was good news because these people usually never resign. So I was really hearkened to hear that. So maybe some others will as well. But there's so these school boards are filled with tyrants. There aren't very many good ones. If they are, they stay silent. But Tucker Carlson, to his credit, you know, Tucker Carlson runs hot and cold. A lot of times, his show is not very good anymore. But sometimes, a few times this week, he catches a day where he gets hot again, and he starts talking about the political prisoners and in Washington D.C. and how they're still sitting there. And he'll cover the school board meetings or vaccines reactions for little kids and things like that. Nobody else covered it. But he talked to me. I didn't know that there was a father that was arrested back in June. I just got reported this week. Again, that's how, you know, they're talking about 4 months later, it finally hits the news. We see video of him being beaten and, you know, taken away by police at a school board meeting for having the audacity to get up and complain about his daughter, who was 14 years old, freshman in high school, in Loudoun County, that was raped. Physically raped, not date rape, not harassed or, you know, any of the kind of woke stuff. She was physically raped by a transgender male who obviously was still a male. He was able to rape her in the girls' bathroom at school. So if this doesn't light a fire under parents, I mean, I think the least we can expect as a parent, my kids are out of school, but I think as any parent, they all have a right to expect that when you send your kids to school, when you send your daughters to school, that when they come, they shouldn't have any chance of them being raped on the facility. I mean, that should be zero chance of that happening. Less chance than if you had a real school shooter coming in. Okay, maybe you can't stop that, but you should be able to stop some other student from raping them. But because this was even more powerful than when the football player does it, in Bullyocracy, I talked about how they cover that up. But this is even more powerful to the woke authoritarians. This is transgender students. They're special. He may be wearing a skirt, but he was able to perform a real rape, and they swept it completely under the rug. As far as I know, the dad, Tucker Carlson, had him on. I think the school system won't talk about it, and they're actually claiming it didn't happen. And he may well be prosecuted himself. Now, you know, this to me, things that is the height of madness. That your daughter is raped in the school bathroom. The schools not only let that happen, but then they cover it up, and they make you the bad guy, you the potential criminal for complaining about it. So if this doesn't get, you know, at the next school board meeting, if they don't have thousands and thousands of irate parents in unison objecting to this, then there is no hope.
All right. And it also, I mean, it was on Tucker Carlson, but it needs the coverage, right? It needs to get thrown out there for people to become aware of it and then get activated to a certain degree. I don't know. I don't know, Don. I don't know how many people will come out. I really don't. I hope people do. You know, Tone, thoughts on that real quick, man.
I think there'll be more and more people. I don't think this has peaked at all. And especially you start adding in the economic hardships that we're about to endure. I don't welcome, by the way. I'm not cheerleading for that. It's not going to be good for anybody except the ultra wealthy and the government. But it's coming, and I think that's going to push a lot more of these grassroots issues. You know, people honestly, they're in disbelief, you know, because this is being sprung on us, you know, and of course it's like the boiling of the frog. Like, we don't realize how many liberties we've lost until you sit down and reflect on it. Like, you know, I was talking yesterday on my show about, you know, Prince had it right. You know, that 1999 seemed to be the end of things, you know, because I go back to that time before I joined the Army, and it's like, that was a different, it wasn't that long ago. I have a 99 Dodge Ram pickup that I still drive. I bought brand new. And I can't believe how, you know, if you just think about it, just how much society has changed. And you know, the redress of grievances. I mean, you have these parents that want to show up, and now they're domestic terrorists. I mean, who could have dreamed that up? Like, this would have been rejected as a dystopian future if you were writing it in the late 90s. It would have been like, oh, that's you know, you're setting this in 2021. No, that needs to be like another 100 years, maybe. No, it's
maybe
so, right? so much accelerated in the last 20 years, you know, especially after 9/11. And I don't think we're anywhere near the peak of the outrage, and because this is the byproduct of cultural Marxism. You know, you go look at the origin of cultural Marxism, which was the Frankfurt School. It was the intellectuals that were kicked out of Hitler's Germany that set up shop here in the United States. People like the thought followers of Gramsci and others. And they set up, you know, this, you know, you look at the 1960s and the Cultural Revolution. And then now this is like peak, you know, to fruition cultural Marxism. And it's acidic. It just eats at everything. It's not, it doesn't have principles. It's just an anti thing. Like, it wants to destroy everything, every foundation, every institution, just for the sake of doing it. Like, it doesn't have a plan to replace it with anything. It just wants to eat away. And so they start with the military always, right? And then they go, and it filters down through society and into the schools. You're asking people to play pretend. right? We play pretend like, oh, that, you know, there's 57 genders. Well, I mean, when archaeologists dig some up a city and they find bodies, do they go, I don't know what it is? And they get out a list and go, no, it's either a male or a female. And that's the way it is, you know, and Dave Chappelle's in trouble right now for being funny.
I got to interrupt you real quick, Tone, if that's even Dave Chappelle, okay, because it could clone, all right, with it, that's been put out there that the real, even his cousin, okay, this is true, by the way, Dave Chappelle's cousin says that Dave Chappelle is a clone. Putting it out there. Go ahead, buddy. Not that I believe this, be. I'm just putting it out there. Go ahead, sir.
It's still a funny clone.
I mean,
they did a pretty good job. But I don't obviously agree with everything Dave Chappelle. I don't think he goes far enough sometimes, but I like him. I mean, he seems to be a real person.
Yeah.
But you know, that's where we are. Like, that's like when you look at the Soviet Union, nothing was funny, right? And if you disagreed with the state, guess what? You were a psychopath. Mm-hmm. Like, you had to be locked up. Like, you were psychotic. You had a mental illness. And right. if you really messed up, you weren't just killed. You were killed, but you weren't just killed. You were erased. Stalin would have archivists go through and make sure that your picture never showed up anywhere. That's kind of like being deleted off social media now. So
That's what's happening to John Gruden right now. He's being erased. Yeah. A ring of honor. They become unpersons. They really do.
Yeah. So we're doing all the things. It's cultural Marxism. We're doing all the things that the goals of those intellectuals, you know, back in the 30s and before, all the Marxists, they're carrying them out. And this is part of the larger plan, because I've always said, you know, Marxism is a tool. It's an operating system. It's not so much an end in and of itself. And so I don't think the American people are anywhere near. You add in the economic downturn and we're going to see some. That's why they're gearing up, like saying people are domestic terrorists. I think, I mean, they're laying the groundwork for a civil war.
Damn, man, and that's the scary part about it, right? Because I never thought they would actually be successful with a civil war, but I thought they were trying to make one happen. And now it looks more evident than ever that that is a possibility. And they're going to keep digging at every side in order to get us at each other's throats. That's not stopping. So when you see things like this, the division is real, right? And even to the point of gender, like I never really understood it. I'm sorry if there's somebody out there watching that is gender fluid or something. Listen, I love you. I got nothing against anybody. Do what you want to do. It's one life, right? You want to do it, as long as you're not hurting anyone else, it's fine. I don't understand it. Up until very recently, somebody broke it down for me. I'm like, gender is male and female, right? I'm like, that's what I was taught. But apparently not, right? At least it's been redefined. There's a redefinition going on, and they're trying to make it seem as if it was always that way. And it wasn't. It wasn't. And it's not a Mandela effect. It wasn't this way. And now that it's been redefined, the term, and there are 53 or 56. I don't know how many different genders out there, but this is getting ridiculous, and it's counterproductive to human, for lack of a better term, evolution. This is devolving what we're doing here. It's getting worse, you know. But it's part of the division, Tone. I think. I think that's why all of this is going on. Everybody's being divided. Families are being divided. Friends are being divided. Genders, I mean, this is down to a freaking molecular level at this point, the division that's going on of the human race, you know. They are very close to achieving this quote-unquote civil war. And I think this is why they let everybody get freaking armed every time there's a new president. Like, oh, Obama's coming, he's going to take your guns, and gun sales go up. You know, Trump is coming, whatever, gun sales go up. Gun sales always go up. You know, Biden, he's a socialist, gun sales. Whoosh. I mean, we're not going to fight the military. Good luck with their directed energy weapons. We're not going to be able to fight them. Right. So what are these guns for? It's for us to use against each other, I think. I hope we don't go down a civil war scenario, Tone. I really don't. But to that point, I'm going to bridge over. We have 15 minutes left. I'm going to bridge over to the metaverse. Could the metaverse be like an option for a war-torn reality, right? A civil war, not just in the States, but around the world, because people are pissed, which is beautiful. It's beautiful anger. I love it when I see it, when we're pissed off about having to get this vaccine. I dig it. You know, but I also realize where this is going if it keeps up. So they have this metaverse, and we need to keep an eye on it because Facebook is now considering themselves a metaverse company. You know, Bill Gates is interested in the metaverse. Apple is interested in the metaverse. This is where everything is going. All these social media platforms, everything is going down that road, the metaverse. And it's for people that don't know, just to take it to the ultimate extreme of what they want it to be, is an alternate reality where you go live, pretty much. A Matrix-style reality, a Ready Player One reality. And now you see it in the mainstream, and that's what's scaring me. I want to say it's going to be really fun. The metaverse is going to be dope, right? So we're going to want to go check it out. But it's a trap almost, man. Like, it's like these big cities, they're so dope, right? To go visit, like New York City. New York City is fantastic. Toronto, you know, Chicago, you know, Miami, right? Los Angeles. But they're traps, ultimately. This is the next level of that. And when there's war going on in your quote-unquote reality, how invested will you be in that metaverse? Will you ever come out? Am I reaching? I don't think I'm reaching here, but I'm willing to take the criticism if I am, if you guys feel that I am. But I think that it's a possibility. And I think after everything that's gone down in 2020 and 2021, it's not out of the realm of reality. I think it's something we need to talk about and speculate about. And even if you think it's wild speculation, we're being forcefully vaccinated right now. People thought that was wild speculation not too long ago. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's they make reality in the real world so terrible that you get a virtual reality that you can flee to on purpose, right? So, and if you put your conspiracy hat on, right, and you your conspiracy analyst hat, and you look at this, you're like, what is the purpose? It's to disengage you from, you know, being involved in real life. Is it to, I mean, are you supposed to get on a treadmill like a hamster to power Lord Rothschild's hot tub? I mean, what is it that you're supposed to, is it like a Matrix style thing? When you get involved, and I think all of this, the artificial intelligence, the metaverse, these are very serious, I think threats to humanity, because things aren't getting better. Like, we have access to the internet. We should have, you know, we should have all sorts of new inventions and leaps forward. And then you have, Prince Charles getting angry that, William Shatner goes into space. He says Earth first. And it's like they want you to be hooked into a screen in a false reality. They don't want you looking up to the stars. They don't want you dreaming. That's my take, right? That's a bigger picture conspiracy theory. But I think there's something with the elite, something that they're programmed to do to keep you from being an explorer, from being a pioneer, from being your best self. And I think that's what humanity does best, is have breakthrough moments where we create new things, and we help each other, and we, you know, the new inventions. And every time that happens, like there's a big leap forward. There's some sort of stall out in war. And I think that's what this plan is, right? So yeah, the metaverse is a huge part of that, in my opinion.
Yeah. And a lot of people are going to look at it as a big leap forward. And in some ways it could be, but, it's hard to describe. I think it, and I say this often, but I think it takes us further away from being human, right? Like, I mean, we're not going to live anymore. We're going to live in there, because we're going to be able to do things that we're not able to do here in this reality, right? And it's going to be especially interesting, and especially motivating for people that have, you know, that can't walk, let's say. You know, you okay, Donnie?
Yeah, no, I just had to yawn. Didn't want to do it on camera. Not that I'm bored. I yawn all the time.
Don, it's not bad, huh?
Don wrote a whole article while we were doing the show. He's like, we'll come back. I'll pay
it. It's on Substack now. Go check it out. But yeah, man, you know, people that have disabilities, people that can't walk, people that you know, can't use their arms or whatever, people that, you know, you want to have sex in the metaverse, right? And you have sex with multiple partners. You can do that there, right? And not catch gonorrhea or whatever the hell else is out there. You can do it in the metaverse. They're saying now that there's VR sex now that it's rivaling regular porn and people love it, and it's bordering on cheating. They say in the article that I read, that's how real it is, and people get addicted to it. This is what's gonna happen in the metaverse, man. It's like people are gonna have relationships in the metaverse with people they've never met before. I mean, they've never met, period. And they're going to have virtual families in the metaverse, and they're going to have jobs and all types of stuff. Why would you come out? What is the risk that we run of literally becoming the pods in the Matrix? You know, like, I mean, that was wild back then. Now it's a reality. Like, I mean, and I hope people can find the line. Because abstinence to the metaverse isn't a thing. It's not going to be. We can't say, hey, don't go. People are going to go, bro. People are going to go. I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm not going to say, no, I'm not going to go check it out. I'm absolutely going to go there. I hope it happens within my lifetime. Because it's going to freaking happen. Okay. Like, there's no, oh, it's not going to happen, whatever. It's happening. You know, so I want to at least get to see it. But the whole point is, get yourself out of it. It's fun. Come back out into the real world. And develop yourself, you know, and do whatever it is you need to do to live in the actual reality. But now that's not going to be a thing anymore. Like, that reality is going to become reality. And I'm going to leave with this, and then I'm going to go to Don. When do we get to the point where we are in the metaverse and we start thinking, damn, how did we get here? You know, who created this? Who's God? Wow. You know, and they're looking about and trying to figure out if the metaverse is a hologram or not, you know, because they've completely forgotten about this reality. And that is very, very possible. They're going to be living over there. You forget after time. You think that is the reality when it's in all actuality, it's not. And then you start having these questions about how things developed. And to that point, we will be the gods because we created the metaverse. It's crazy. And then to apply that to this reality is also crazy, because who's to say we're not there now? We very well could be. What's up, Don?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what they even mean by the metaverse, because what you're describing is basically my life most every day, because you're just plugged in online. I don't know, beyond living in the cyber world, it's a lot of us here right now. You know, where are we in the metaverse now? I mean, because we're not. And you talk about not. I mean, I've never met you guys in person. I haven't met most of my closest friends that I talk to, you know, now all the time. I've never met them. Mm-hmm. And I think we're already there. I mean, you know, the only thing that changes a little bit for me is that being a writer. But even then, I use the metaverse or whatever to do that, because I'm on Substack or whatever. I'm not really writing on a pad paper. I don't know. Beyond that, but you mentioned certainly sex and all the incels out there, especially all the young people that are, you know, this is at sex to them now, mm-hmm. is the big world of porn out there, you know, that's everywhere. And so it's things that you can't find in real life. And I think it does already real life can't compete with that. But because of the options we have, and even with this incredible censorship on the internet, now, you know, you go back. You're talking about a metaverse, you know, the Wild West internet, you know, that started up in, you know, the mid to late 90s. I mean, that's when really anything was there before they got their hands on it and censored anything. You could really find anything you wanted. And now, of course, it's a lot more difficult, but I'm not sure what they would have planned beyond this, unless you mean, you know, where you wear the helmets and you have virtual sex and all that, right. That we've talked about for years. And sure, that could come, I guess. But, I think that especially with the way real life is now, or what we're describing, we're looking at this dystopian future that is really not even a future. The dystopia is pretty much here. when we, you know, we're talking about vaccines and shortages and rolling blackouts, and then you just see the third world infrastructure collapsing. Yeah, that, you know, that metaverse is going to be pretty attractive. I don't know what more they can add to it, but yeah, you're going to want to go into an alternative reality, because this one out here doesn't have a whole lot to offer at this point.
No, I get it. 100. And what they have to offer is, like, you're fully immersed into it. Right now, we're typing into a computer. We know we're typing into a computer. You know, when you go to the metaverse, it's going to be like you're actually there, like you're actually flying through the sky, or you're actually having sex with that porn star, or you're actually doing whatever it is you wanted to do in the metaverse. Right. Go watch Ready Player One, Don. It's fantastic. But that's what this whole deal is gearing up to be. And while it sounds amazing, it's incredibly scary at the same time. Tone, I'm going to give you the last word before we get out of here, man. What's up?
I wanted to bring up and ask Don, because we haven't talked about this on air. You have the paperback version of Crimes and Cover-Ups. It's out this month, right?
Yes, release? It's coming out in 3 days, October 19th. So it's been out there for pre-sale. And then anybody that wants to support me, please buy that book, because you know, Skyhorse, my main publisher, they asked for a Hidden History 3. They actually asked for it. And so I started writing, and I'm up, you know, almost 300 pages on it. I'm very close to being done, I guess, and really rolling on it. I think it's going to be great. And those are the books that sell for me, Hidden History and Crimes and Cover-Ups. They sell the best by far. So I was really looking forward to it. But then I asked him, you know, and Tony and I talked about it. He even came up with a great title for a potential Trump book. But I asked him, do you want, you know, Trump needs to be in Hidden History 3, or he needs a book by himself. Would you rather me to write a book by himself, or, and I gave him Tony's great title, Right on Cue, is a great title for it. And the separate Hidden History 3, you want me to incorporate it into Hidden History 3? And they just kind of, well, and they said, well, you know, conspiracy books aren't selling that well right now.
What? So, on Cue, bro?
Exactly. And they said, so, and I think Skyhorse, it's by far the biggest, it's a division of Simon & Schuster now, it's by far the biggest publisher out there that will look at things like what I write. The only chance I have for it, that's the biggest publisher I could get. And I think they've been the subject of a lot of criticism because of that, especially in the culture now. So I think they're trying to cancel these kind of projects. So they told me, well, let's see, they're basically going to base it apparently on how well the paperback edition Crimes and Cover-Ups does. I don't know what that means, but I just want to try to get it to sell as well as possible. So they'll, because otherwise I have to go to another small publisher for Hidden History 3, and I'd rather not do that. But so yeah, that's and it has the paperback has a new updated introduction, a 2021 introduction by me, and it also has a another new chapter on the history of un-Americanism. It's pretty good. The book. So it does have new material on it.
Good. I wanted to bring that up. I knew that it was in October, and it's such a great book, great work. And I want to have you on my radio show. We'll talk about that here in the next week or so, and try to get some sales up, because I know that was important and people need to get the book anyway. But, you know, I wanted to end on talking about the metaverse, you know, having last word. Don mentioned that, you know, we have all these cyber friends we've actually never met. Right. And I'm hoping that this is real, because I may get asked, do you see Don and Billy in the room right now, Tony? Like, I'll be, you know, it'll be some sort of beautiful mind thing. Like, I'm on a show called America Unplugged. We have no trace of that. What are you talking about? You know, like, I've been living this life. So I hope we get to meet in person. We'll confirm that I'm not completely crazy.
But not in a FEMA camp. We don't want to meet in a FEMA camp. That's what I'm scared of. We're going to be meeting in FEMA camps.
That's exactly. I don't. And hopefully not in FEMA camps, Don. That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah, we won't meet in FEMA camps. At least not the first time. Maybe the second time, though. That's very possible. It's America Unplugged, ladies and gents. What's going on? Your social credit score has plummeted because you stuck around for an hour to listen to this. The usual suspects, Mr. Don Jeffries. Tell them where they can find you.
Well, you can find me again, Substack, DonaldJeffries.media, and my blog is DonaldJeffries.news. There's a nice, convenient URL, thanks to Tony Arterburn, who helps me out so much. My book on showbiz is just about out there now, On Borrowed Fame. We got a beautiful cover. It's finally done. It's going to be out around November 1st. So as soon as it's out there for pre-sale, I'll be letting people know and promoting it. And, of course, it's, as we just mentioned, the paperback of Crimes and Cover-Ups, American Politics. 1963, forward by Ron Paul. That will be out in 3 days officially, but it's out there for pre-sale.
Fantastic. Mr. Tony Atterburn, what's going on?
Well, you can find me at atterburn.news. That's my website. And rockfin.com on the America Unplugged channel right here where we're recording the live video feed. You'll find the Atterburn radio transmission Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Central Time.
Fantastic. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. What's going on? Shouts to aftermath.fm. Hope everybody's doing well. You know, you can find me over at theinfinitefringe.podbeam.com, Apple Podcast. You can find me over at aftermath.fm as well. You know the deal. We will see you next week, Lord willing. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for listening. And, you know, do the thing. Promote, share, subscribe, that whole deal. All right? Don't burn the place down until we get back. Take it easy now. Bye-bye.